Okay, we are at the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph, four lines from the bottom. And the Gemara asks, Keman Razel, again, we just established that there were different opinions as to within Yora, within the first rains. So there are three rains that constitute the first set of rains. Each one is called a Revia. So it's a Revia Rishona, Shnei Shlishis. And we discussed how spread apart they are in order to have the status of having been these three rains. So now the Gemara wants to know, Keman Azal, how does sign Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer? Like, who does it go? This is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel taught in the Braisa. Geshamim Sheyardu Shiva Yamim Ze Achar Ze. Atamona Ben Revia Rishona Ushnia Ushlishis. That if rain fell for 7 consecutive days, that you can count the Revia Rishona and Shnia, or the Shnia and the Shlishis. Meaning as follows. According to Rabbi Yossi, and again the Gemara is going to say momentarily, that it's Keman Ki Rabbi Yossi, that it's like Rabbi Yossi. So what does that mean? That according to Rabbi Yossi, so the first rain, the first Revi'ah is on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, the second on the 23rd, and the third, or the last one, is on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So if the rain falls consecutively for 7 days, from the 17th to the 23rd, it includes the first and the second rain. So even though it didn't stop, that's considered to be the first and the second. And similarly, if the rain fell from the 23rd through Rosh Chodesh, it would include the second and the third. And if it interrupted for a little bit in between, then you could actually have it count for all of them. But it's only according to Rabbi Yossi that there's 7 days in between rains. So that's what the Gemara says right now, that this Braisa must be like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Amrav Chista, Rabbi Chista teaches, Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha is like the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that the three rainfalls of the Yor, these Revios, are on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, the 23rd, and are on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So now the Gemara wants to understand what the halachic significance of these three rainfalls are. We're going to elaborate on this a little bit more. B'lishlama Revia Rishona, I understand the significance of the first rainfall. Lishol is to know when we need to start requesting rain. Shlishis lisanos, when the third one, the time of the third rainfall comes and it hasn't yet rained, that's going to tell us when we need to start fasting. Shneilamai, what's the significance of the second one? So the first one is, again, when the rain should be starting, and we need to know when to start asking for rain. The third one is when it's delayed, and therefore we have to at least consider that at least Yechidim, the righteous ones, need to start fasting. But what's the purpose in designating a time for the second rain? So Amar Rabbi Zeira explains, Linadarim, that it's relevant when it comes to vows. How so? Disnan, that we learn in the Mishnah on Amud Beis now, Hanoder Aragashamim, one who makes a neder that he's not going to have Hanoder, he's not going to have benefit from something until the rains, Mishayerdu Agashamim, or if he says, from when the rain falls, Adjeteired Revia Rishona, then he is prohibited. The Isser Hana applies until the second rainfall. So again, that's a nafkamina of there being a second rainfall as well. What else is it relevant to? Rav Zvid Amar, Rav Zvid says, L'zeisim, in connection with olives. What do olives have to do with anything? Disnan, that we learn in the Mishnah, Meseches Peyah, Me'emas I call Adam Mutar B'lake B'shikro B'peyah. When is everybody, meaning even the people who are not aniyim? The Lekat Shikra and Peyah are the Matnos aniyim, which are designated for the poor people. But at what point do we say, okay, the time is over, we're not going to let the food go to waste, and anybody, even the wealthy people, are allowed to collect from the Lekat Shikra and Peyah? Misha Yelcho Hanemushos. After the Nemushos, the rummagers, have already finished going through the field. So again, what is that referring to? So it refers to there were people who very carefully would go through the field in a very methodical way. The Gemara is going to explain this shortly. And they make sure that they're not going to miss anything. The parrot of Olos, when are anybody, not just Aniyim, allowed to take the parrot and the Olos, which are the Matnos Aniyim from the Kerem, from the vineyard? After the poor people have already gone through the vineyard, and they've gone through it, then they've gone back, and they've gone through it again. Bizesim, when are they allowed to collect from the Matnos Aniyim of olives? Mishateirid Vyashniya, after the second rainfall has ended. So again, we see another nafkamina of there being a second rainfall. Again, obviously, as Rashi points out, it must be that at that time we already assume that they've already collected everything that there is to be collected. Now the Gemara wants to know, we mentioned that when it comes to the original Matnos Aniyim in the field, that the wealthy people or anybody's allowed to take after the Nemushos have gone through. So the Gemara wants to know, my Nemushos, what exactly does this refer to? Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Sove da Azle at Tigra. It's referring to elderly people who walk with a cane. Meaning they walk slowly, they examine the ground more carefully than others do, Rashi explains. So they're very, very careful, they're very meticulous, and they'll make sure that they're going to get whatever they can get. If there's anything left after they've already been through, so then we don't have to be concerned that it needs to be left for the aniyim. It's those who collect after the collectors. Meaning, as Rashi explains, if they come to collect as a team. So you have two people walking together. Let's say, the marshal, you have a father and a son working together. So the father goes first. And then whatever he misses, you have somebody following behind to make sure to pick it up. So once they pass through the field, then nobody else is going to bother because, again, they've done it in a methodical way to make sure that they're going to maximize what they are able to get. So if nobody else is going to go through it, there's no reason anymore that the even the not poor people, the wealthy people, there's no reason that they should not be able to collect. Why else is the Revia Shnia, the second rainfall, relevant? It's relevant to walking on permitted paths. What are permitted paths? So one of the takanas of Yehoshua in terms of the, again, although the land was divided privately in Eretz Yisrael, there were certain takanos that Yehoshua ben Nun made in order to allow the public to still be able to benefit. And one of those is that there are certain shortcuts that if the public takes consistently, even through privately fields, then once there's no produce in the field, that we allow them to pass through the fields. So when is that true? The Amar Mar, Mahachan Kaladna Mishvila Rishos, and these paths, one's allowed to go through, Ajitarid Rishonar, until the second rainfall. After the second rainfall, we're afraid that it's going to damage the new crops that are growing, and nobody has any right to damage the new crops. So Yeshua's point was that if it's not going to cause any loss to the owner of the field, then the Rabbim should be able to benefit. What other halacha is this relevant to? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says, Levayer Perishviyas, to destroying the fruit that's left over from Shemitah. This Nachman, we learn in the Mishnah, Ad Masainen in Misarfin, until when is one allowed to benefit from and burn the Shviyas, Betevenu Bekashal Shviyas, when it comes to the straw of that grew during Shemitah. It's until the second rainfall at the beginning of the eighth year. So again, there's a maximum time. That which grew during Shvius is not allowed to stay around forever. That's called you have to be mevired. You have to destroy it. It's called the Zman Habior, the time of removal. So when is that for certain items for the Tevin and the Kash? Is the Zmar Cheshvan of the next year. My time, huh? Why is that true? Why does it become forbidden and therefore have to be burned after the second rainfall? Because it says in the Torah, the stuff which grows, the crops which grow in your field during Shemitah should be left for your animals and for the domesticated animals and for the wild animals that are in your land. So the Gemara assumes that there's a connection between the domesticated animals and between the chayos. As long as there is perus of shmita that are available for the wild animals to still eat in the field, you're still allowed to feed your domesticated animals in the house, meaning you're still allowed to use the produce of the seventh year to feed your own animals in your private rishus, as long as there still is stuff out there in the field that the wild animals are able to consume. But once there's nothing left. They can't. There's nothing left for the wild animals in the field anymore. They've eaten it all, or it's been destroyed. You have to destroy that which is in your house. You're not allowed to benefit from it anymore. So again, so what this seems to be saying is that when the Revir Shnia comes, then the Tevin, which is still in the field, no longer is no good anymore. And at that point, the Chayos are not going to be able to benefit from it anymore. And therefore, it becomes Usur for that which is in the house. We've been referring significantly now to the Deloshin of a Revia for rainfall. Where does this language come from? Amar Rabbi Avaho says, "My Loshin Revia." What's the root? What's the meaning of this word Revia? Dover Shivroveya es hakarka, something which penetrates the ground. Kid Rav Yehuda, like Rav Yehuda, the Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, "Mitra ba'alo da'ara." That the rain is like the husband of the soil, it penetrates into the soil. Shenemar, ki kasher yirid hageshem v'ashel min hashamayim. Just as the rain comes down, and the rain and the snow come down from the heavens, v'shama lo yashuv, and does not return. Ki mervas aretz holidov v'hitzmicha. It saturates the earth, and it allows it to grow. So since it uses the language of holy da, which is giving birth, so there seems to be a comparison between the rain and between a husband who impregnates a wife to bear children, and that's the language of Revia, that it penetrates penetrates the ground. V'amar Rabbi Avaho also says Revia Rishona Kadei Sheterid Bakarka Tefach. It's only considered to be, meaning it's not automatically, as soon as it starts raining, oh, now we have the Revi Rishon, as long as it's in the right
time frame.
It needs to be a certain quality to the rain as well. So Revi Rishona, Kadesh Hir Bakar Katefach, it has to be enough that it penetrates the soil to the depth of a tefach. Shnia, the second rain, Kadesh Loguf Ba Pichavis, if it felt the extent that it would cover over the barrel, meaning that the earth becomes soft enough that you could use it to cover a barrel. Again, they had to use what the materials that were available. Amar Rav Chisda Geshamim Sheyardu Kadei Logov Pahen Pichavis. Rav Chisda said that the rain which falls down to the point where it can now be used to cover the opening of a barrel, Ein Bohen Mishum V'Atzar, is no longer a curse of Atzar, right? That Pasuk says, V'Atzar Es Hashemayim V'lo Yiyamatar, I will hold back, if we're not doing the right thing, Hashem says, I'll hold back the rain. Once it's that much rain, that it's already softened the soil so much, that it has that it's going to be able to be used as a mud compound to seal a barrel, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not holding back the rains. V'amar Rav Chisda also says, G'sham Mashiyardim Kodem V'Atzar, if the Ein bohem yishum va'atzar. So rain that falls down before the reading of va'atzar in Kriya Shema is not a manifestation of the curse of va'atzar. What does this mean? The Gemara explains. Amar Abaye, lo amar ela kodem va'atzar de'orta. This teaching of Rabbi Avo applies only if the rain fell before the recitation of in Kriya Shema va'atzar of the night Kriya Shema, meaning it fell during the previous day. But if a little bit of rain fell before the morning reading of Shema, meaning it fell during the night, that would still be a potentially manifestation of Atzar that Hashem is holding back, meaning that if there's a minimum amount of rain that falls, it's only beneficial if it fell during the day, not if it fell at night. Dam Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yitzchak, as Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yitzchak says, Hani Anani Desafer, the clouds that appear in the morning, Les Behum Meshasha. There's no substance to him. There's no bracha which comes in. Dechsiv, Ma Asadacha Ephraim. What can I do for you, Ephraim? Ma Asadacha Yehuda. What can I do for Yehuda? Vechastachem Kanan Boker. Your chesed, your goodness, is like the clouds of the morning. So Hashem complains that the goodness of people is no more significant than the clouds of the morning. Again, and this was a criticism, so you see that the clouds of the morning do not have the chashivos of the clouds in the evening. Amalei Rapapa Labai, Rapapa says to Abai, Baha Amirinshi, but people say, Miftach Vave Mitra, right, if rain falls when the gates are open, which means in the morning, Bar Chamor Moch Sakach Ugani. It's a message, the donkey driver, fold up your slack and go to sleep. Meaning, it sounds like morning rain is going to, Rashi explains, the morning, that when the rain falls in the morning, there's going to be so much produce, it's going to be abundant, that there's no point in the donkey driver going out to sell his tevuah, because he's not going to get a good, he's not going to be able to sell it for any money, he's not going to get any profit. So that seems like the pre-dawn rain is good, it's a bracha. So Gemara says, Lokasha no hadukater be'avi, be'avi hadukater be'anani. It depends. When the morning fall is a bracha, that's when the sky has thick clouds. When it's only thin clouds, that's not a bracha. Amar Rav Yehuda, tava shet l'shato de teves armelasa. It's good for the year in which teves is a window. It is a widow. When no fall, meaning that no rain falls in teves. Ika da amri, others say dolobairi tarbitzi. Why? So some say because then the places of the where their marbits Torah are not empty. Again, it's still able to travel, so people can come and they can learn. Because then there's no mold which comes onto the or no winds which damage the wet crops. Any, is this really true? Rav Chisda said, "What do you mean? It's good for the year. It's a blessed year when Tevis is muddy and Tevis is gross." Lokasha, hadasi mitchemei kara. When is it good? That's when there's a knot of rain which had fallen in Mar Cheshvan. Hadulo asa mitra meikara. The other statement that it's, I'm sorry, the opposite. When is it bad? When's it good for Tevis to be dry, not for the rain to fall? That's if there already was a lot of rain in Mar Cheshvan. But if there wasn't a lot of rain in Mar Cheshvan, then it's better for the rain to fall during Tevis to get the process going. V'amar Rav Chisda Geshem, sheyarda amiktas medina, if rain fell in part of a country, v'amiktas medina lo yardu, and did not fall in the other part, ein b'am yishim v'atzar, it's not a manifestation of the curse of the atzar, because there will be enough food from the area that was rained on, enough produce for the entire place. Ain't is that really true? V'aksiv v'gam anochi monati mikemes ha-geshem. The pasuk says, "I will withhold the rain." Be'od shloshah chadashim la-katsir, when there are 3 months yet to where it's going to be harvested. V'imtarti al yirachas, and I will bring the rain on one city. V'al yirachas lo amtir, and I won't bring it on another one. Chalka achas timater, and again, I will bring it on one city, not another one. And I will bring out one portion and not another one. V'am Rav Yehuda Marav, stay on the klala. That the rain and the drought, which are mentioned in this pasuk, are all a curse. That it's going to somehow damage the crop. So what exactly is Rav Chisda talking about? If even a partial drought sounds like it's a curse. Lokasha, no problem. Hada asa tuva. One is talking about when there's a lot of rain, and that's going to damage. And the other one is talking about when it's the right amount of rain. If it's the right amount of rain, then even if it's only one area, then that would be okay. Amar Vashi, Dekanami, you can see that this is true as well from the language. Yachsiv Timater, which stands for, which we can read as Tehema Komatar, should be a place of rain, Shema Mina. So you see that we learn like this. Okay. Now the Gemara continues. At what point do we have to recite the bracha on? At what point do we make a bracha on rain? What bracha on rain? The Gemara in Brachos tells us that there are times you make a tova meitiv on rain. So when is that? Amar Rabbi Avel, meimas I'm working al geshamim. When you say the bracha on the rain, mishayetzichos in the kala, after the groom has gone out to meet the bride, meaning the drops of rain that are on the ground and they're still there and more rain has fallen. I'm Mivarech, what do you make a bracha? Amar Yehuda Marav, Modi Menachnu L'cha Hashem Elokeinu, thank you Hashem. Al kol tipa v'tipa shavarat olanu, on every drop that you have brought to us. Rabbi Yochanan Misayim Ba'ahachi, and Rabbi Yochanan concludes the bracha, Ilu fin l'malei shira kayam, like we say in Nishmas, even our mouths were full of songs like the sea, and our lashon and our tongue is full of joy song. We praise you, Ad Al Yazvein Rachamecha Hashem Elokeinu Vlo Zavino Baruch Rov Ha'odos. Thank you for not forsaking us, and blessed are you that has the things that we thank. The Gemara says, "What does that mean, Rov Ha'odos? Look, Kol Ha'odos. Why are you saying only most of the things? Thanks. It's all the things." Amarava Ema Kel Ha'odos. Therefore, we should conclude that he is the God of Thanksgiving, not that it is Rov Hodos. Amar Papa Hilkach Neminu Tervai. We should say both Kel Hodos for Rov Hodos. You should say that Hashem is the one who does all the things, God of Thanksgiving, and there are many Thanksgivings.